You're listening to the Music Manumit podcast for July 3rd, 2011. Learn more at musicmanumit.com. Hi, and welcome to another Music Manumit. I am Tom, and today with me is Only Doug.
Indeed, and Only Doug.
Only Doug. That's going to be your stage name, Only Doug.
Only Doug. My stage name was DJ Dougie Dad.
No, that's your DJ name. Your stage name, you're going to be Only Doug, and you're going to be a very sad performer. You're going to perform things like All By Myself and, like, what other sad song? Careless Whisper.
And there's I Alone.
I Alone.
I don't know how sad that is.
That's not sad at all. I'm talking like, I already said All By Myself.
I could do some, like, suicidal depressive black metal.
But isn't that what it all really is? I mean, there aren't really very many happy, like, songs about flower black metal songs, are there?
Well, there's the Nationalist Socialist black metal. And
you just said a bunch of words I don't know.
Well, it's National Socialist is the Nazi party.
Oh, okay. And so, they sing about happy things?
No, but it's not suicidal depressive.
Oh, I see. Because it's not suicidal depressive. It's kill people we don't like.
It's more
empowerment.
It's more genocidal. Yes, yeah. It's genocidal, not suicidal.
That's kind of the different side of the same coin. Just more outward pushed than inward pushed, I guess.
There's still... Well, that kind of fits... There's also sort of another type of black metal, which is more I'm not even sure what that word is. I know what it looks like. But anyway, because it's like very pro-Earth. It's like humanity is killing the Earth. I mean, the theme of black metal tends to be like humans are bad in some sense, or I am bad.
And that would be the... like a suicidal thing because they're self-loathing?
Basically, yeah. So it's like we're destroying things or we are evil and thus I should kill myself.
How would one get started up in such a thing? You know, it's like suddenly you're like, I should write music about that. Well, I guess, no, that's that it. I mean, art comes from all kinds of emotions, I suppose. Huh.
Yeah. Yeah, black metal is weird. We talked before about the guy who like buried his clothes in the ground.
Right.
You remember this? Yeah.
Kind of. It sounds familiar.
Yeah. So his name was Dead. That was like his stage name.
Oh right. I do
assume
remember
that
talking
wasn't
about
his
this.
Given name.
You don't think his parents would have just... It's kind of like that Jerry Seinfeld joke about if you name your child Jeeves, you've pretty much decided what he's going to be like when he gets older. Whereas if you name your kid Dead, you know, there's really only like two things he could turn out as.
But everybody's going to be dead someday, Tom.
That's very true, but you don't name your child it.
That's true.
Although I would think that people in those type of bands might actually do such a thing.
Maybe.
I would be actually disappointed if they didn't.
I wonder how many of them, well, I don't know. Yeah, I guess so.
Because, I mean, we've discussed, we've talked before, too, about, like, how some of it is a shtick and some people, like, are, like, full on, that's the way they are, or at least they do, like, Andy Kaufman and don't let you see behind the curtain and make you really think that, like, no, this is what I'm like 24 hours a day, you know?
Yeah.
Although during the sleeping parts, how angry can you really be? So maybe not 24, maybe, you know, 12, 13 hours a day. You're like,
maybe they don't sleep and that's why they're so pissed off. Cause I mean, I'm pretty cranky when I don't sleep.
Yeah. Yeah. I can power through as long as I get a good 15, 20 minute nap, you know, in between that time. And then I'm raring to go again, rejuvenated, and I'm doing more stuff. That's the way I am. But, of course, then on the weekends, I sleep till, you know, noon or something, whatever.
While we're talking about Nazism, I just want to throw out this. There's this, like, punk rock. I guess it's not just punk rock, but it's called Rock Against Communism, which, you know, depending on your feelings, may or may not be a good thing. But it's really just Nazi music.
Oh, nice.
It's called Yeah, so that's basically, I mean, that was a big thing, is like the Nazis versus the communists and whatnot. But anyway, so there was all this music from the late 70s in the punk scene, mostly. The Dentists and the Vents were some of them, but anyway, and I guess they're sort of, it was intended to counter the Rock Against Racism movement. So, and there's some weird sort of right wing punk and hardcore in the States too, but that's a little bit different, I think. That's more like pro-life, that sort of conservatism, like a vegan Reich. I mean, obviously they have some Nazi imagery there, but I don't think they're as sort of, you know, Nazi politically speaking as sort of the RAC bands. But anyway, just in case people just think that, you know, black metal is the only Nazis still hanging about, you know.
Personally, what I'm thinking is, why are we spending so much time talking about Nazis? Although, it's funny because it matches up with one of your picks that you did this week, which was, well, sort of. He doesn't claim to be a Nazi, but Charles Manson and that Creative Commons album that he put out that keeps popping up from time to time. I mean, is he dead yet? I don't know.
Well, you linked to the Wikipedia article. Did he say he died?
I don't know. On it?
No. Well, says born on Wikipedia. It doesn't say dead.
It says age 76.
Cincinnati, Ohio.
Is that where he's in jail?
Yeah. No, that's where he's born.
Oh, that's where he's born. All right.
How does that work if you're in jail? How do you, like, put out an album?
I've had this conversation.
I've put out an album while I was in jail.
No. Because they have to create recreational activities. And my drummer actually was in a band, you know, years ago, who somehow, and he doesn't even know how, and not only did they do it once, but they did it twice. They played shows at prisons. Like they would, like in that scene from, you know, like the end of the Blues Brothers or something like that.
Well, I was thinking Jailhouse Rock.
Yeah, it's probably not as, that was less realistic. Although not that the Blues Brothers one was better, but I mean, at least they showed real prison people. It wasn't like, hey, look at this elaborate light show setup that we have set up to dance and stuff. No, it was, they would sit there and people were in, you know, cuffs and had to sit in chairs and watch them play. And what he said was, is the place they played at was they had equipment there, but everything's like the guitar amps are, you know, caged in and bolted to the floor. And the only thing that you can do is there's a little opening for plugging the guitar in and changing the volume. And that's all you can do. Otherwise, there's nothing else you can touch because, you know, you pick one of them up and throw them at someone. And they had instruments that they could use. And, you know, he explained how the drums were set up to me, but I don't remember how. But basically everything's bolted down and they have it just set up kind of like playground equipment almost, you know, like that's where they stay. You've got to play it that way. So that's how you would do such a thing. They let you, or at least they did. I want to say this was maybe 15 years ago. He was a lot younger then.
But 15 years younger.
thank you.
Metallica did that, it looked like they like shot a video, and I'm pretty sure I remember that being true.
It's one of those things where you don't know if they're staging it or not. But this actually happened. I think it was
when they released their like comeback album a couple of years ago.
Which one, the Reload one or whatever?
No, that was like way back in the 90s, dude. That was like 97.
That was a comeback album, wasn't it? That was when they changed their look and everybody
ostracized some of their listeners. No, this is like when they went back to basics, when they like stopped being a...
Oh, you mean when they got rid of their bass player?
Yeah, it was the one, it was really sort of heavy. It was like not as produced. I can't remember the name of that song, and I kind of wanted to like it, but I didn't.
Right.
Anyway, it doesn't really matter. We've got a lot of stuff, so we should probably stop talking about Metallica, other than to say that they're dicks.
Yes.
Or mostly Lars. But, getting back to the shows this week, you had a Miracles of God song on there, and I remember their tracks just being like all over the place. Like they just have the most ridiculous song titles and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny because there was I got to turn off my notifications here. Those are going to show up on the podcast. The sound, I mean. But I thought it was interesting that I found a song that was called Everything's Shit. And if you look at the album cover for the first song that I did, which was Windmills by Anatech, the cover, which I didn't realize until I was actually posting the notes in the on the site itself, is basically a drawing of a kid squatting and pooping on the floor.
Nice.
Yeah. So nice. I was like, oh, good.
What you should have used for the the image of the.
That's true. No, I just took some random, like, I typed in folk and then just found one that looked kind of neat. That's basically where the image for the show came from for that.
Well, that's what you do most of the time, isn't it?
Very true. Yeah, it is.
Basically.
I mean, sometimes, I didn't want to put up, for some reason, I didn't want to put up a picture of Charles Manson because I didn't want it to be all Charles Manson-ish, so I just went with the folk theme instead.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, that's...
I don't know why.
You could have had, like, a guy and his guitar or something. Like, no, I like the pick.
Yeah.
I don't know how folksy it is, but I like the pick.
It claims that it's two folk artists, so I don't know. I thought it was cool looking.
Yeah.
And then
he's got his folk synth there. Yeah. It looks like.
That's very, well, in this day and age, I mean, that's not that out of the, you know, out of the ordinary.
No, that's true.
But then another thing I posted too was, I couldn't remember if you or I had ever posted the Lame Drivers before, and we had Jason Siegel on, who that's his band, Jason Siegel from the Free Music Archive and WFMU. So that's one of the songs by his band, the Lame Drivers.
Yeah, it was pretty good song.
Yeah.
The week to have done that would have been the week where Jason took over the music show.
Yeah, but then he would have, the thing he sent me was like 45 minutes long, and I was like, wow, I was just going to let him put his thing on, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. I took the week off, so I was happy for that.
And then when I saw it, I was like, well, hell, he took up the whole show. Cool. So
yeah, exactly.
I just saved my stuff for the next week. So maybe that's why it was in my queue. And then the one thing, the last song, I liked the last song, which was Waiting for the Sun by Catholic Spray. But the one thing, and I hope I fixed it when I posted it, but that song was recorded a lot louder than the rest of the songs. And I tried to compress the whole thing, and hopefully that came across. But I dug it. They had like a really, I mean, they sounded like kind of the old school punk that I used to listen to long ago. Like they were kind of like punk / The Cure to me. I don't know. I found that was kind of cool. Although, you know, The Cure was considered new wave, which was a derivative of punk, but they were never one and the same, you know.
I tend to dislike new wave.
I'm neither here nor there on it. I can go either way. It depends on what kind of mood the new wave has, because technically Huey Lewis and the News was considered new wave, which I never understood that. Like, there's that whole discussion in the movie American Psycho about it. If you've ever seen that movie, like when he's sitting in the back of the limo and the new Huey Lewis and the News album came out, which was the album after 4, whatever the hell it was called.
5.
Oh, wait, no. He was talking about the album 4, because before that, Sports was the name of the album. Which, see, right then and there, that means you're not New Wave if you're naming your album Sports. What New Wave person? Well, what New Wave person is going to be like, I love me some Sports? You know.
Well, maybe it's ironic.
I don't know.
Maybe. Or maybe it's like, you're a good sport. And then you like punch them in the arm.
Yeah, but wasn't the cover of the album them in a sports bar? No, that could still be ironic. But anyway, yeah, so that's the thing too, is it's like new wave. Like, it took me a while to understand what the hell that could possibly mean if they were considered new wave. So anyway, I don't know. But those are my picks. I don't know if you want to talk about yours or move on to something else.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to say, I kind of thought about what to, you know, when I was doing a folk show, what I should do, if I should do, like, traditional music, like stuff that sounded like it was from the 1800s or what I should do. But I pretty much went with what would be called contemporary folk. So I just wanted to read out this little blurb, a couple sentences from Wikipedia about what folk is, in case anyone doesn't like my picks about folk. This is starting in the middle of the 20th century, a new form of popular folk music evolved from traditional music. This process and period is called the folk revival and reached a peak in the 1960s. The most common name for this new form of music is also folk music, but it is often called folk revival music or contemporary folk music to make it the distinction. This type of folk music also includes fusion genres such as folk rock, electric folk, folk metal, progressive folk, psychedelic folk, freak folk, and neo folk. That's it.
Wow. Mm-hmm. When you say folk a lot of times in a row, it sounds really, it doesn't sound like a word anymore. But I do like how they, describe that it's also known as folk music. And it's like, did that really need to be defined? I'm not quite sure.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
So, let's go through the like bazillion shows that we haven't talked about.
Well, actually, I had something I wanted to talk about something real quick. It was announced yesterday. I don't know if you saw this. Now, a little backstory. The site Flatter.
Yeah.
Which I think interesting concept. I've always thought, and you've even brought it up too. Like, hey, have we ever thought about using Flatter? But my thing with it was, if people aren't using it, then how useful can it be? You know, if it's not that common, like, you know, PayPal, you can at least just go, oh, here's my credit card. You don't even have to have a PayPal account. So I've always been kind of like, I don't know if this is going to work. And a little backstory for people who don't know what it is. Flatter is basically, you kind of, for lack of a better way of putting it, you create an online account, money account in Flatter. And then whenever you see sites that have it, you can click on that and it will take the money that you allot for paying for things through Flatter and it will separate them throughout those. So if you Flatter two things, then it will split your allotment to those two sites. But if you Flatter like 10 things, then it will take that same amount and evenly dole it out to those 10 sites. So you're always paying the same amount, but it will change on how many people that you actually want to give money to. Now, that's my understanding of it. And I believe I watched the video and that's pretty much the concept that I got from it. Now, I think that's cool in theory, but if people aren't using it, then what good is it? Like when you see the Flatter things, I mean, even on the Flatter site itself, there's like 11, you know, which that's cool. I mean, money's money, you know, but a lot of the times you'll see it. And I always find it, I hate putting things that will tell you how many people have done it on a site. Because it just seems embarrassing when nobody does it or you have like one. I mean, I'm even reluctant with the whole like Facebook like thing because it's like, oh, one person liked this. How embarrassing for you. You know, things like that. But anyway, so my whole concept being is if it's not adapted, then I don't really see this being something that would be useful in the future. Well, it was announced yesterday. Was it yesterday? Maybe 2 days ago.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well,
I mean, I know it's Flatter, but
yeah. Well, that's what I'm getting at. It was announced the other day that SoundCloud is now connected to Flatter. So if
very nice.
Yeah, so if you have a SoundCloud account, and let me send you this link here. If you have a SoundCloud account, you can turn it on for that. So SoundCloud players already have an option to put a buy this button in the player itself, and then you can link it to your store or whatever. Well, now you can also set it up for buy this to be a choice to Flatter the song. So people, if they have an account, can just Flatter it and they don't have to go do anything. They can Flatter to download it, things like that. So if things, and with the momentum that SoundCloud's been getting lately, which I like and am worried about, we've talked about this before, like, is it becoming too popular to be something that where people might all of a sudden be like, oh, this if my mom likes it, then I'm done with it, you know, that sort of thing. So who knows, but it was, you know, Flatter being picked up by a company like SoundCloud, and people are loving the API for SoundCloud and using it for a bunch of different ways, and this is just one more way, and I think that's pretty cool. So I think that's a step in a good direction for them and making it possible. Now, on the other hand, I find it more useful than Bitcoin in this sense, because Bitcoin, I think, is a great college thesis, but not realistic, if you know anything about Bitcoin at all. Have you heard about that?
Yeah, I mean, people are using it for real stuff.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it's possible. No, it's not. It's not going to work. It's like well, I mean, said, it's a great
I'm
theory.
I'm saying it is working. People actually no. buy things with Bitcoins.
Yeah, like five things. There's like, I don't know. It's not, making your own money is not feasible. And what's going to happen, people are buying it to prove the theory, but it's not going to work. I like the idea. I think the idea is great. I read up on it that day and the whole mining thing. First of all, it's too complex for common users. And
but that doesn't mean it won't be. I mean, yeah, it's not going to take over like the world, but
right. But that's the thing, is if it's not going to be a viable, useful thing, then how is it going to survive?
But I'm saying it. You can buy things. There was a
no. I know like, you NPR can. There are a couple of there are a couple of things that you can buy with it. But I mean, seriously, if you were selling your bike and I was like, hey, I'll give you 200 bitcoins for it, you'd be like, cool, have my bike.
That'd be a lot of damn money, Tom. A Bitcoin is worth like $10.
Yeah, but where?
On places that accept Bitcoin.
But that's what I'm saying, is like off the top of your head, where?
Silk Road.
I don't know what that is.
That's what NPR did their story on. Oh. So that's what I know about.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's a great theory. I think it's a super cool idea, but I just don't see it. That's what I think it is it's an idea. And I think it's a great one. But it's one of those.
I think that it'll work well in like the tech community. And there's a lot of stuff. I mean, that's all Flatter is right now, is a tech thing, you know. And
right, but Flatter
thing.
Actually involves currency.
But you can like exchange bitcoins for money and stuff too.
So I could cash in bitcoins at my bank.
Not at your bank, but like there's like a service that'll do it. Like people will buy them, I guess, is how it works.
Right, but then where does okay, that's. Where does that doesn't make sense?
Well, sure, it makes sense. It's like printing money, Tom. All governments print money.
But I'm saying, like, if people buy your bitcoins, first of all,
where do you go in the U.S. when you have, like, let's say you have 500 pieces of paper that happen to say $1 on them. If you want to get something, you know, in exchange of real value of that, you can't go to a bank and get that. They will give you more pieces of paper.
Right, but pieces of paper that weren't generated by people who said, oh, I'm just going to make some more. I mean, there's actual monetary value.
Yeah, no, that's exactly value. What it is, because the U.S. government says, hey, I'm going to make some more. That's all money is.
Right, but the thing is if what my point is that if you're saying I'll buy your bitcoins from you and give you money, where is that money that they're buying the bitcoins with coming from? I mean, it all starts from somewhere.
Right, but if the value has to be that I want to cash it in, then that doesn't
equal out, because then you're leaving the system.
But if you think about like exchange rates, you can exchange dollars into pesos or dollars into yen
that work in that country. You can't come back to the USA.
The same thing is that somebody has a set amount of dollars, and you exchange them for bitcoins, or you exchange the bitcoins for pesos, or you exchange them for, and you're absolutely right that right now banks are not doing that, but that's like something that a startup could do, you know, like they could be the Bitcoin bank, and then they're keeping track of your electronic pieces of paper, which we happen to call money.
Yeah,
I mean, I agree in the sense that
because I'm
not
saying
going
it.
To,
Well, yeah, I'm not saying, like, no, this is stupid. I've never once said it's stupid. I'm just saying it's a great theory. But I just don't know how it's going to actually happen. That's basically what I'm trying to say.
Well, I think maybe we're talking about two different things. Because I think you're talking about bitcoins being, like, this global thing that everybody can use. And all I'm talking about it being is, you know, an additional currency in, you know, think about, like, the currency of Trinidad and Tobago. How many places can you get Trinidad and Tobago money? Not very many places, probably. But that doesn't mean it's not a viable currency.
Well.
And so the Trinidad and Tobago in this scenario with Bitcoin is just going to be the tech community. I mean, I'd say there's at least as many people in the tech community, or that would claim to be in the tech community, that live in Trinidad and Tobago.
Well, I guess my point was going to be, since, you know, I was talking about the Flatter on the actual SoundCloud player, like, I don't know if bands would really want to go, oh, I can get digital money. You know, I don't know if, like, putting a Bitcoin in a situation like that, like, if that would be the same sort of thing. Whereas with the flat Earth thing, it's like there's actual money involved, but it was like you have to be a member of the site to use it. So yeah. I don't know. This is just one way to get people to actually join the flatter site, which will make it useful, which when it first started, I'm like, no, the one thing I always think of, unless like everybody in the world is doing it, nobody wants to sign up for one more service, you know? And that's the one thing that Bitcoin does have is that you don't really need to sign up for the service. It's a thing that you, like you can do the digital mining or whatever the hell that thing is. That part I don't get. That was weird. But you know, I don't need to go into that since I don't know about it. So, yeah, so that was a little story that I thought was kind of cool this week. And did you also see the story that was circulating around the web about the record companies and everybody trying to up the ante on piracy?
No,
they're trying to make it a federal offense.
Oh, I figured it already was a federal offense.
No.
I guess if
it's a federal offense, it's more like, well, obviously more serious. But before it was like, you know, you would get a fine. It's something like they're trying to make it way worse. Like they're upping the ante on it. And I'm looking for the story. I have it linked in here somewhere.
Well, is it just because of the Interstate Commerce Act? I mean, I would think anytime you were transacting money across state lines that was illegal, then that would be a federal case.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it's just never been tried that way before. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I was hoping. I mean, that makes obvious sense to me, but.
Right.
I don't think that, you know, the penalties of piracy make any sense at all. But if you're going to try people doing it under Interstate Commerce Act, unless the server is in the same state as the individual, like, you know, I mean, you get into a jurisdiction issue, you know, like, do you sue them in the jurisdiction of where the server is, or do you sue them in the jurisdiction of where they are? And this is the whole thing with the Pirate Bay and how they're going to, you know, trying to be in the Netherlands so people can't touch them, you know?
Right.
So if they were in the U.S., then, you know, they'd be bombed to hell and back, I think. but they're not. And so I think, I mean, it's a similar sort of thing in states. I mean, the Illinois, you know, state government can't prosecute people in Wisconsin. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, so, and it's because they're still trying to catch up. I mean, I don't remember if we talked about the story a while ago, but it's just like the whole thing where they're trying to go after cloud computing. And I think that's really where they're trying to push it. And that's what it started from, was because a couple months back, they were going after things like box.net. Like basically claiming that people being able to store their stuff online and also the fact that you can share things with other people on box.net was essentially another form of LimeWire, which, you know, LimeWire lost their case. So, you know, they won the whole LimeWire thing. So they're like, oh, well, let's go after box.net or let's go after Dropbox. And all these things were like, it could just, you know, it's because of winning that case, they're kind of being able to, you know, gray the line of like, well, what would we consider peer-to-peer? Because technically Dropbox and box.net are peer-to-peer sharing, just not in the sense where you can just go on and go, hey, search for this, you know?
Yeah.
But if anything, and I hate to say it, but it proves more that you could point out who's doing it because you know exactly who's sharing what with those, or at least if they're given that information. But I don't know. That's the thing that's been going on, and I just think it's nutty. It's like, what, just having your own, and everybody's opening their own cloud thing this, you know, in the past month. There's the iCloud, and which, seriously, think of something different than the I something or other, okay? You're fucking Apple, all right? You're always talking about being...
That's why it's called I, it's just it's Apple.
They're always like, oh, we're changing the world, but we're going to keep naming things the same stupid fucking way. You know, it's just... I'm sorry, I really went off on that one, but my God, it's been like years. Stop doing I something or other. Anyway, rant over on that one. But, you know, and then Google has their cloud account. And which is funny because all these people are doing things that MP3 Tunes has been doing for like 5-6 years. Like they've done everything that these people are doing. And I think it's funny that they haven't gotten enough credit.
That's what Apple always does, though, is that they take something that somebody has already done and then they, you know, make it shiny and pretty.
Well, I find it unfortunate because MP3 Tunes is actually more of an advocate for Creative Commons and open software, and like they are built on an open model. I mean, the whole thing started out as a thing for Linux. It's integrated in Linux. I mean, that's how I heard about it and how I remember hearing about it. It was started by a dude that was involved in one of the Linux communities, and you know, and now it's just kind of sat on the side. And not getting any credit in this whole, like, ooh, are you going to go with the iCloud, or are you going to go with a Google account, or whatever? So, and I'm still not quite sure how that's going to benefit the smaller musicians, the independent musicians. I mean, from what I've heard, is it's just another way where people are going to pay them, and it's like, you're not going to get any money for it. Which, once again, there was another story I had bookmarked that I can't find. I don't know where I'm bookmarking this stuff.
But Google and Apple aren't doing this to help the artists. They're doing this to help them.
Exactly. Yeah, and that was the thing I had found, is like they had one of them. I want to say it was Apple had struck a deal with the record companies, but like not independent artists or not independent labels. So the artists for large labels will get paid, but like they haven't signed a deal with any of the independent labels, so they're not going to get paid if they get played, even though they'll have the information that, like, oh, this person got played. That, wow. Well, and they did get played.
Isn't ASCAP supposed to deal with that sort of stuff?
Yeah, and they're dealing with the major labels. That's what they're...
Oh, I thought anybody could sign up for ASCAP.
Oh, yeah, you can, but how are you getting... I mean, biggest scam, I still think. I mean, when you pay ASCAP to play music in a bar, how do they know what music you're playing? You know, that's the one thing I've never understood. It's like, oh, you got to pay it to play stuff in, you know, in public places. But it doesn't make any sense. And speaking of open software and stuff, I got to say, and I'm using it right now. I know we haven't done this in a while because we've been doing interviews, but I got a tool of the week for you. I know. So the one thing, and it's, you know, you can look it up by searching it, but the website is not... the same, but AV Linux. Now, a couple shows ago, I was having, like, out of nowhere, and this still happens today, you know, we don't know why it does this, but I'll have sound card issues. First of all, because Pulse Audio is junk. It's garbage. I don't like it, and it never works right. I've tried installing Ubuntu Studio, and still not really that great. It's not set up properly. You have to do a bunch of tweaking to get it right to get things to work, and it still uses Pulse Audio, which the sound card for it, it's like they said, you know what, we don't want to give you everything to be able to use the sound card. We're just going to show you what we want you to use for the basic sound card setup. Like, you have to go and configure it to get it to the way that it used to be a couple distros ago, which is, you know, the regular GNOME ALS or ALSA sound card thing. So I was getting tired of that, and I don't remember if I saw this on a post in Identica or if I did it while I was searching for, like, just, you know, I guess, multimedia, you know, distributions. Well, I found AV Linux, and the one thing it has above Ubuntu Studio, which it's first of all, it's on bandshed.net/avlinux.html. But if you just search AV Linux, you'll see it. It's the first post. So what it is these people created a distro. First of all, it has a live DVD. Now, this has actually come in way handy for me over time. I downloaded it a couple months ago. And I'll just keep the live CD with me, and I'll have my laptop. I'll be out at the studio. Or we'll be going somewhere to record something. I pop it in. It has everything already out of the box running. It has Ardour. It has all the... codecs that you need. It has a bunch of effects and Pulse Audio and everything already installed. You don't even have to install anything. You can turn on so you don't even have to install it. If you don't know how to do a partition, you just boot from this disk and you can use it. You can just start using it and then save everything to an external device. That's what I did. I recorded like 5 songs in the past couple months, or at least started to record 5 songs in the past couple of months using nothing but a live disc and an external hard drive. And it's awesome. Everything just already there. Whereas I think even in Ubuntu Studio, you have to install a lot of the codecs out of the box when you open it up. So the whole thing is basically just a multimedia operating system on a disk. And then finally, after using it, I was like, hell yeah, I'm gonna install this. This is really cool. So I installed it, and it's great. And the one thing I discovered, too, was that it has... apparently, it's being backed by the guys that do... And I'm not going to remember the name of this off the top of my head, but the people who make... the people who make Renoise, which is another digital audio workstation, which, by the way, those are your initials, DAW. And it's called Renoise, and it's a super powerful, like, drum machine / keyboard songwriting environment. But it's the demo version, but it comes with everything in it. You just can't export the song, which... And I hate to say it, but there are ways around that. But, you know, and it has all the effects processors built in, the ALSP, I believe that's the initials, the Linux DSP, sorry, effects environments and everything just already installed. And it's just, and it's got video editing already installed. It's got graphics installed. So, I mean, essentially, you could run everything you need for your band just by getting this. If you don't understand Linux at all, just get this and, put it in, you know, the only thing you'll have to learn how to do if you don't know Linux or stuff like that is to learn how to boot from a disk, which a lot of computers will do it automatically, laptops and whatever. So just use that and you can start learning away. And then also go over to, you know, a couple of shows ago, we had Films by Chris, K-R-I-S, on the show. And when you open it up, you'll see a bunch of the programs that he's shown how to use on his site, and if you want to learn how to use them, go there, watch his stuff, which, by the way, another super cool thing, because they made this operating system so that the guys who made it, it does everything that they think it should do. Jack, when you turn it on, no longer do you have to figure out how to get other sounds to work when you're using Jack. One day, accidentally, I was like, oh shit, I got to look something up online, and I went to go look for a film by Chris to learn how to use something, and I went to YouTube. I still had my Ardour open with Jack running, which means usually the only sound you get is through Jack. I opened up the browser, and then I went to push play, and I was like, oh, shit, it's not going to work because I have to turn off Jack. Lo and behold, it worked. I could hear everything. Like, basically, it runs just normal. Like, they have the whole thing just tweaked out so that it does what it's supposed to do or what you expect it to do. You know, not something like, I'm running Ardour, why can't I hear the synthesizer that I'm trying to do on a different program? So... super cool. Great thing. And I think I've raved enough about it, but I would strongly suggest if you want to have your own like home studio, give this a try, and it doesn't ruin your computer. And all you have to do is be able to burn a DVD. So there we go. AV Linux, right?
Sounds cool.
I know. Did I go on enough about that or what?
No, I mean, that was, I had never heard of it. Well, maybe heard of. But you said MP3 Tunes is built into Linux. That's not entirely true. It's built into Amarok.
Right. That's right. I'm a Kubuntu user. That's right. So for me, it's built into it.
Nobody else gets MP3 Tunes, or at least not according to my apt cache.
I'm wondering.
That's the only place where.
Well, I'm wondering if maybe that's why I know about it, because I know I'm subscribed to the Kubuntu and KDE, websites, and it probably came through the feed there. Maybe that's how I heard about it. So maybe it is of a KDE specific thing, but still you can use it cross platform. It's just not built directly into it.
Yeah. For other systems. You have to, what do you have to do? They got an Android app. We might check that out.
They do have an Android app, which I hope and believe I've heard is much better than the iPhone one. Cause the iPhone one is pretty crashy McCrashin.
Yeah. Well, if they're in the open source, that would make sense. But the guy who started MP3 Tunes also was the founder of MP3.com,
yes.
Linspire, and Sipphone, which was Gizmo 5, which is now Google Voice or something along those lines.
Right.
And then Ajax 13 or IAX 13, depending on where's this guy from. In Dutch, it's IAX,
mm-hmm.
but I don't really know that. Know where this guy is from, and it doesn't really matter, but anyway, I just thought that was interesting that he also did mp3.com and then Linspire and also what's now Google Voice. So
mp3.com just did a relaunch or a rebrand or relaunch or whatever the hell you call it when you go, okay, hey, we're changing the way we do things. They just launched this week, which I don't know. It's still MP3 tunes. I don't know what really changed, but they claim
MP3.com.
I'm sorry, MP3.com. Sorry. Yeah, that's actually a huge difference. But yeah, I mean, it just MP3.com is just it just seems like another Napster/MySpace. You know, I don't know. I don't get it. Yeah. It's I don't know. It still looks like a site where when you type in something that you think is going to show up, and then you get one of those pages that looks like it's supposed to be a web page for that, but it's actually just like a standing page for that domain. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like if you type in MP3 and it goes there, for a brief second, I'm kind of like, wait, is this a site or is this a standing page? I don't know. But it's not. It's the actual site.
Yeah. I got a couple tools to mention as well.
Yeah.
I just wanted to mention, because we have so many problems with Skype, that Skype was reverse engineered few weeks ago, a month ago. I don't know. Yeah, June 2nd is when this came up on Veronix. So
yeah,
we haven't really made any. Excuse me, I'm gonna cough here. we haven't really talked too much about moving away from Skype with the Microsoft purchase. But this is somewhat of a side, but on the same topic. Did you see that they killed the I want to say Astrid, but that's a task management app. The Asterisk Skype integration, that's like the first thing Microsoft did.
I don't know if I'm familiar. I mean, I think I heard something about that, but I don't know if I know what it meant.
Yeah. Do you know what Asterisk is?
No, that's what I'm saying. I don't know what that is, okay. I don't think.
Well, Asterisk is like a telephony, you know, for enterprise sort of things. Like
okay.
The types of things that you would buy to have like Cisco phones. Asterisk does that, but it's open source. And so they had like a Skype plugin that apparently is, I don't know how it worked, if it was licensed by them or, you know, by Skype or I think that it was. I think you had to like purchase the rights to use it or something, but it had like the blessings via licensing with Skype. Again, I don't know exactly the details of that, but basically Microsoft was like, nah, screw that.
All right.
You can buy telephony from someone else if you want to use Skype. So anyway, the code's out there. So they can't really use the code like in projects because you know, that would be copyright infringement.
Right.
But people are saying that they might be able to learn something from taking a look at it and, you know, maybe their firewall poking stuff. And this is why I think that, like, Google Voice / Google Talk or I mentioned the Zoho meeting, I think that those things are interesting rather than SIP because, I mean, if your browser, if you're running it through a browser and your browser already has you know, a hole punched through
right.
the firewall, then there's not really any problems you should have.
And SIP is kind of confusing, like, especially if you don't know what's going on. I mean, I've tried to set up SIP before. When we first started out, we toyed around with trying to set up SIP, and we just could not get it to work. You know, remember we were trying to use, what was that program?
Was that Ekija?
Yeah, we were trying to use that. Yeah. And we could not get it to work. And couldn't figure it out and went through the tutorials. And it's just, and I've found that out with a lot of SIP providers. It's just like, you kind of got to have a general knowledge of it first before you can start using it. And that's unfortunate because if we're going to try and interview people, you know, it's hard to go, okay, hey, install this and figure out how to do this and that. Whereas Skype, you just go, hey, download this and turn it on, you know?
Yeah. And well, find that's our what's name. great about the Google Talk stuff, though, that everybody has a Google account.
But
at least in the numbers of people that have Skype accounts,
right? And it's not hard to get. But I do want to say before we started here, I was having weird, goofy issues with Skype, where like I could hear everything, I could hear you, I could hear me, but you could not hear me, and I was going through my sound. So at one point, I even turned on my Gmail account, and I was going to call you through there, and it said I can't call you. And I've downloaded the, you know, use Google Voice and video thing, but it wouldn't let me do it. Yeah, so, you know, still bugs to be worked out.
Yeah, I tested it a while back, and I mean, it was like a year ago, I think, and it was working fine, so
I don't know if I needed to do a reboot or whatever, but I mean, I installed the thing it said I needed to install, and then when I tried to do it again, I rebooted the browser, and when I tried to do it again, it said, hey, you need to install this thing, and it's like, I just did, you know, so So it's, you know, that's still not perfect either, but I've, you know, I used it once or twice before because I just wanted to freak my wife out because she didn't know about it. So she's, she's using, you know, she's emailing and all of a sudden a call comes up for me and she's like, what's this? And then she turns it on and there's video and just, I thought that was funny. But that's about the only thing I've used it for other than that. No, I wouldn't be against something like that, but it does have to be something like if we are going to do interviews that everybody can use. Did you just hang up? Ha, that's funny. basically I'm understanding Doug was doing this from his phone and I'm under the assumption that his phone just ran out of battery life or he hit a button. I'm not really sure, but that's pretty funny. Here he is. Hello?
Did you just, like, kill your internet or something?
No, I don't know what happened. All of a sudden it just hung up. I wasn't even touching my mouse or nothing. I thought maybe your phone ran out of battery life or something.
No, it's plugged in, actually.
Huh. That's super. Maybe it was getting mad that we were talking about other methods of communication.
Yeah. I don't know. And are you still recording?
Yeah, I'm still recording.
Okay.
But that was pretty funny because we were actually talking about different things we were going to use, and Skype probably went, oh, yeah, well, screw you then, and hung up on us. I'm sorry,
well,
Skype.
Well, I mean, if maybe if it didn't do shit like that, we wouldn't be thinking about moving on. I mean, seriously.
Funny.
Why don't you throw your toys out the window? Seriously.
It was funny, though. Trying to make up for that dead air. So I went through a whole thing where I thought maybe your phone went out and then you called up. So anyway, okay, move on with your thing. They've already heard this.
Well, there's a Jamendo OGG downloader, which I had always hated that there were MP3 downloads only and not OGGs. And apparently there were somewhere you could get MP3 downloads. I mean, OGG downloads, rather, from the stuff in Jamendo. But this guy has a little PHP script so that you can get the OGG files. And I don't know how many people really care that they get their stuff in OGG versus MP3, but I care.
Yeah.
And there's probably some people out there that listen to the show that would prefer OGG. Don't mind the MP3, but would prefer OGG. That's pretty much where I am about it.
And hopefully those people know how to run a Bash script.
Well, it's PHP.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The one I found when I searched for it was a Bash script, but okay. Either way, you'd have to know something.
Yeah. I mean, that's not hard, but yeah, you would have to know something. So the script's already writing the script is the hard part.
Yes. Yes,
running it not so much. I mean, you'd have to have PHP installed, and it's probably an easier thing to do from Linux than it is from Windows. Mac, I don't know, I think Mac has PHP built in. Or at least the Mac server certainly do.
Yeah, I think because I know a couple of people that still have to run MAMP on it to do a local host. So
they have to, or they just don't
know any better. But I mean, why would it exist if you didn't? Like,
well,
you know,
because it's all set up. I mean, you might have to, like, I mean, in PHP is just PHP. That doesn't mean it's Apache and MySQL as well. But anyway, I remember it being pretty easy when we had an Xserve at my last job.
Yeah.
Other things were a pain in the ass about that server, but that was supposed to be pretty simple.
Right.
But anyway, I just wanted to mention that because it always kind of made me mad that I couldn't get the OGGs. And I haven't tried it out, actually, so maybe it doesn't work. But I didn't hear anybody say it doesn't work after that came up on the feed. So.
Well, and speaking of Jamendo, you know they got the whole Jamendo Awards thing happening, which kind of all of a sudden, like, boom, hey, awards show, you know. And I'm wondering how it's going to play out or what it's going to do, but the voting goes on for, like, what, a month, I think. It goes on until July 10th.
Yeah, so, I don't know what's up in my head. But
yeah, well, I just logged into the site, so there we go.
Right now it's in nominations. And
right.
Then,
I see, you're right. It is nominations.
And so then after that, there'll be it's until July 10th, so it's not a month.
Huh. I'm on the site, and apparently a user named Brainfucker just voted for somebody. That's a great name. So feel free to go over and nominate Lorenzo's music for the rock category, you know, whatever, I don't care, whatever.
it's from June 20th to July 10th. So by the time this comes out, it'll be in the last week.
Good. Down to the wire.
Unless you wanted to get it out a little bit early to give people more time to nominate Lorenzo's music.
Maybe. We'll
I also see. Nominated Rovix and Pop, which they don't have a folk category. So
well, wouldn't that be considered world? World would be under the folk would be under the world category, don't you think?
But some of his stuff.
But I mean, that's what I mean. Is there are subgenres? I mean, folk music is something that is kind of like I mean, from place to place, there is a folk background. You know, from different countries.
Absolutely. No, I don't disagree. But I guess in contemporary folk, I wouldn't necessarily put that under world. I mean, it's certainly not David's stuff. I mean, he has like, especially, right. I don't know if you've listened to the Big Red Sessions album, the newest one, but he has like kind of almost a punk song on there. And he has some like another rock track on it. It's different than his older stuff.
Right. But I'm saying if you're going to claim that he's a folk artist, that might be the category he's dealt. I mean, technically Tom Waits is considered a folk artist, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I understand that specifically as a, you know, named genre, or you know him personally is different, but you know that could give him the edge too, like being in the folk thing, people will be hearing folk, you know, sort of maybe the same sort of thing, and then all of a sudden what you're talking about pops up and it's like, well, hell yeah, that stands out, you know, so it could give him the edge, who knows.
Yeah, well, I mean the same could be said in pop, I suppose.
Yeah, that's true,
you know, similar. But I mean, I told him, I was like, yeah, so I, you know, he was fine. I mean, he said he's not wedded to folk, but he said, you know, like singer-songwriter would be good. But I mean,
there's not really a category for that.
Good, huh?
There's not a category for that, though.
No, that's what he said. He said there wasn't really a good one. So he said five would be good. But so I guess if you enter, if you're the top five in a category, then do the judges pick after that? I don't know. So you nominate people, and then at some point, something else happens.
You get a $500 prize.
Yeah, I mean, somebody does.
Right.
The winners of each category win $500, but I don't know how the winners are picked, if that's just the... Oh, you can nominate once per day per category. I didn't realize that.
Oh.
So should go back every day and nominate. Yeah, okay. So this is what I thought. It just didn't say this in the second email. It says the top five artists from each category who have received the most nominations will move on to this voting round. So on July 11th, obviously the day after July 10th, then voting will begin. So the key thing is to get up to the top five, and then it says each member will only be able to vote one time per category at that point. So it's not a matter of going back every day and voting. Your vote just gets logged at that point. But that at that point, it's only 5 days from July 11th to July 15th. So that's probably there in France or France or Luxembourg or somewhere over there.
I think it's France. And
some of the people I know have... Some of the people might live in Luxembourg or something like that. Okay. I don't know all the details, but yeah, they might have headquarters in France. But anyway, so we'll have to make sure we remind people next week to go out there and vote July 11th through July 15th. And obviously, the nomination part is pretty important, because if you don't make the top five, then there's no. You should send out an email like to the Lorenzo's Music list, Tom.
I should.
Yeah, because I mean, $500 is pretty sweet.
It is.
I'm like, whatever.
No, it is pretty sweet. Sorry, I was trying to log in as you were talking, so that's why there was
trying to vote. Jeez.
Well, because I'm kind of I was gonna vote, but then I'm like, is that lame to vote for yourself? Although I suppose even in elections, you vote for yourself.
You have to. Yes.
Yeah.
I think you're like, why would anybody vote for you if you're not going to vote for yourself?
Yeah, gee. I suppose so. I don't know. It just seems so cheesy to do that. But like I said, you know, even presidents get to cast a vote. And what are they going to do? Vote for the other guy? I wonder if that's ever happened.
I'm sure it hasn't. But I remember Clinton in 96, I don't remember why I said this. I mean, why I remember this. I'm pretty sure it was Clinton in 96. But anyway, they asked him who he voted for, and he said Al Gore or something like that. Of course, he was the vice president.
Yeah.
So I thought that was funny.
Yes. Ooh, and they give so you a widget to put on a site.
Yeah, we need to. You should put that on Music Management.
I will. Site. I will.
Did you see the notice? I think I CC'd you, but I put a little vote link on CC Hits to
yes.
the Straight to Hell track.
Yeah,
that was pretty easy to do. It's still not, you know, automated or anything.
Right,
like that,
that's what I saw. You had said that you couldn't just make it turn that on for the actual artists that are on it or whatever. There was something where like you had to go through and manually set it up for specific things. But you know, it's still a step in the right direction. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. And yeah, it's not just like a link. They have the little logo, you know, the little favicon thing.
Right.
So it's pretty sweet. So I'll probably try to get some more up there on tracks in the future.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I still have yet to, speaking of from before, you were talking about scripts and everything, I still have yet to set up the, when we actually talked with John about how he actually exports the stuff using the script for CC Hits to, you know, he'll get the music that we have and he'll just export it. Through the links and have them each one by one. Whereas like you can also do it the other way and I could do the podcast that way by setting it up and then just having it run a script that like puts it all into one podcast.
Yeah.
I still have yet to actually look into that and figure out, and I need to, and I keep forgetting. So just, I don't know, thinking out loud, I guess nobody really needed to know that part, but you know,
well,
whatever.
I mean, it's interesting because we interviewed, John, so tied in to that.
Yeah.
But,
right on.
So this is kind of along the same lines, but it's not obvious when you go to the Jamendo site how that you vote.
You mean the pop-up?
Do you find that obvious?
The pop-up screen itself doesn't...
Oh, I just clicked close. I just wanted to go to the site.
Oh, no, something. You click on it and it takes you right to it.
I was like, God, get out of my way. I'm trying to go to the site and vote.
See, that's what, you know, being brought up on the internet and basically, you know, first reaction to pop-ups is to close them.
Yeah. So
you don't read the damn things, you know.
I know. What the hell? Why would they do that?
I don't know.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I had one more little tool thing here, since I don't have a tool of the week, I'm just getting them all out today. Yes. And this doesn't really matter too much. It's been sort of in the "we'll talk about it when we talk about it" section at the end, but I figure might as well go ahead and talk about it, especially since we talked about MP3 tunes already and its Anorak integration.
Yeah.
I did a presentation on Banshee, which is a mono-based media player.
Right. And now the default player for Ubuntu.
Yes, that is true. I gave the presentation before it was the default, but as it was known that it was going to be the default. So there's a PowerPoint and a video of that presentation. It's on blip.tv under Creative Commons, of course. And blip.tv used to be where I put videos because I could license them as Creative Commons. But now YouTube has Creative Commons.
Oh, that's right.
So I thought that was pretty sweet.
That is.
What are your thoughts about it?
That's pretty sweet, and I've been I have wanted them to do that. And I mean, when I do upload things to blip.tv, I always do the distribute, and then it distributes it over to the other places. Like you can have it send it to Facebook and YouTube after it's been done from there, and it will always link back to the blip.tv. But I also use blip.tv first for the licensing, and second, I used it because they actually let you use ad sharing, and it's a reasonable ad sharing, whereas YouTube does not. So if
what do you mean ad sharing?
In the sense that you can get pay-per-clicks for your videos. So when those annoying little pop-up ads show up for YouTube videos, you don't get any of that unless you've been deemed a channel on YouTube and they've okayed you. Whereas on blip.tv, all you have to do is just connect it to your PayPal account, and then you start getting pay-per-clicks for those ads that are going to pop up anyway.
Now, what do you mean deemed a channel? Because everybody gets a channel.
Deemed a legitimate channel, like a sponsored channel. So, like, you know, and you have to have a certain amount of followers. You have to have, I mean, I don't know what it all involves, but it's not a simple process. It's not something where, like, I'm going to start making a bunch of videos. Can I be a channel? And they go, okay. You know, like a sponsored channel by YouTube and getting ad revenue. That's, it's a little bit more involved than that. So, so you can't just start getting, you know, shared revenue from the ads that are on the player that are going to be there anyway by YouTube. So I figured that's why I still go with Blip TV. And Blip TV actually, like I said, lets you distribute to other things. Although, and I'm not sure why this happened, but up until recently, it does not support Internet Archive anymore, which it used to.
Blip.tv doesn't?
Right. It used to distribute the video to Internet Archive, but it does not anymore. They sent out an email, and they didn't really give a reason behind it. It was in a newsletter, and it says, we are no longer supporting this as of whatever day, so you won't be able to export to it. I'm not sure why, but they're still keeping the licensing. I don't know if maybe it was just becoming, as they were evolving, it was becoming harder to keep it integrated to the service. Because I do know that the one thing over the past year, the export to Internet Archive has been hit or miss. It doesn't work every time, and it will keep sending you an error back saying it couldn't do it. So I'm wondering if they've just finally were like, we're not going to keep figuring it out. It's a waste of time. Because it seemed like they had to fix it a lot. But that's just speculation. I have no idea.
I must not get emails from blip.tv because I don't see such a thing in my... How long ago was it? Maybe it was before I switched to this email account, but that would mean it would be like, you know, a year and a half ago.
No, I got this like within the past month, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so, but the thing
it's
is,
it's not though, like I need more email.
Right. But the thing is with the YouTube letting you do the licensing is cool because the YouTube player, even though the Blip TV one, you can customize it pretty good. They have a whole like, hey, you want your player to be this size? Do you want it to have branding on it? Lets you do all that junk, which is cool. But the API for YouTube is pretty freaking cool. You can do a lot of stuff. You can make it look like it's not a YouTube video if you want to go through and do that. You can just make it be like, you know how the Vimeo player will, like when you're not playing it, like, it will just be video on a screen, like a square, playing it. You can set it up so that it doesn't show the player when it's not playing or when you're not hovering over it, and you can do all kinds of crazy customization if you know how. And it's all within the a friend of mine showed me this. It's all within the actual customization of the pasting code itself. But you can only do it when you're using the Flash version, as far as I know. But you can put in stuff like, you know, hide the player, and you can even hide the YouTube logo. So it's kind of cool. There's a lot of neat stuff you can do if you actually go to the YouTube API and look at it, and you know what the hell you're looking at, I guess. Because I didn't know looking at it. I had my friend showed me, and I was like, oh, that's what that means. So, I mean, I'm not saying I know everything about it either, but he showed me, and it was pretty cool. There's even a way that you can use it to, and I've seen a couple of sites use this in the past recently. You can run it as the background image of your website. Like, I've gone to websites where it's a regular website. You know how, like, even ours has that blue background? Well, you can switch that out with, like, a short video, because you don't want it to be too long because it will have to load first.
Take forever to load, yeah.
Right, but you can fill the full screen and the background and still have it be a working website with, like, a small little video loop running in the background as your background image. I thought that was pretty cool. But it could also get annoying, too, if you're going to spend a lot of time on the site. Like, if it's something where, like, you go in and you click through and you go somewhere else, that's cool. But if it's something like, I'm trying to read this article and behind me there's a monkey dancing, that's going to be a bit distracting, you know?
Indeed.
Yeah. What are you thinking?
I was thinking we should go back and talk about the rest of our show picks if we had anything else interesting to say, since it's been... Like, we have like 7 shows back was the last time that we discussed any of these.
Yeah, but you know what? We've been talking for about 1 hour, 5 minutes now.
Yeah, but we can just do this and quit. And I'll be done. It's not like this is the last thing on the list of things to talk about.
All right, well, this better be damn entertaining then.
All right, well, quick is what I thought you were going to end that with.
No, entertaining too. Quick and entertaining.
All right.
That's what she said.
So anything from the Father's Day show? Yeah, we got something from the Father's Day show. Greg Gibbs. We're going to interview that guy.
Yeah?
Sometime. I don't know. He never responded to the last one. He said, anytime, but I don't know how to.
That's true. I was actually contacted by, I want to say, maybe his manager. I'm not really sure who, or maybe the net label that he's on, had contacted and asked us to consider his song for the music show. And I listened to it, and it's pretty good stuff. So, and I think you had even said that you had been meaning to post one of his songs on the show before. So he was on your radar.
Yeah, well, the reason he was on my radar, I realized, getting back to Jamendo, is because he was mentioned in the Jamendo Made newsletter, which is something that I was going to talk about.
That's right.
We're not going to talk about now, other than to mention Greg was on there.
We'll talk about that when we talk to him.
Yeah, that works. Yeah. Well, there's other things that I wanted to talk about on that, but that can happen later. They're unimportant. Well, they're important to the people that were mentioned, but not to us really so much. But anyway, Greg Gibbs, it's not really my thing, as you might be able to tell by the electropop, genre. But I did like the song that I'm going to play on the sports show. Huh. And he's from Chicago, so that I might not have clicked on it, except I saw that, and I was like, oh, sweet. Guy from Chicago.
Right. And that's what I like too, is that he's it's nice to have people within our region, CC artists and otherwise.
Yeah. We kind of already talked about the WFMU show, mm-hmm. So we'll skip that one. I've got them all queued up, so I can talk about them quickly. So then there was the show, and I'm going in reverse chronological order.
There was another one where there was a guest DJ, so yeah, I mean, you don't really have anything to say about that either.
Amsterdam Mac. Well, I was going to say that a lot of those are probably not songs that I would have picked, but I don't remember which ones exactly, but I was digging some of them. Yeah, I just wanted to say, and eventually we're going to have him on. I think I just confirmed that the other day for July 23rd or something like that. Don't quote me on that date.
Okay.
But sometime in late July. I'm guessing you're not looking at this, so you have no idea what other songs, about what things that you want to say about the songs. Is that correct?
Well, I'm looking at it, but it was so long ago, I don't remember.
I don't remember any of these songs.
I know. It was back.
It was so meaningful.
It was June 3rd. I've listened to a lot of music since then. So,
all right. Well,
it's hard to say.
You don't remember any of the artists? Or I remember the stuff I put on, mostly. I mean,
well, you're a better person than me.
Clearly.
Clearly. Nice. No, I was busy looking at the I forgot about the name of one of Amsterdamic's songs, the band, the Mary Poppins and the Dubditive Sex Toy Boys.
Indeed.
Yeah.
And then before that there was the Cloud Kicker show, and where I had already picked everything from Being from Beacons. And then I realized that he had more albums than that. But I think given that it's sort of like progressive rock, having them all from the same album is probably a good thing. I mean, they're not radically different, the album. So it's not like, oh, this is this period. I mean, I'm sure if I gave them a very close listen, I could be like, well, they're doing, you know, faster stuff here. Or this is heavier. But, I mean, it's basically all instrumental progressive metal. So
right.
That's what it is, you know.
I mean, it is what it is.
Did you have a black metal song on here? What the hell? One of the labels on this is black metal.
I want to say, I don't know, I don't have that one up. I want to say that maybe I did. I know I did one in honor of something that you were going to do.
That was the punk show.
No.
But these are listed as breakbeat, indie, dubstep and rock. I have no idea why there's... Maybe that was just one that I had planned something else for May 27th, and I just left that tag on there.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, well, I'm going to leave it.
Okay.
And then we had the hip-hop show before that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you did the punk tracks, and those were definitely some good ones.
That was for your podcast, yep.
Yeah, I think the Mr. Felix maybe one, the Have a Date song. There was one where I was like, I don't really know if that's punk, but
sure they were.
But all the other ones were good.
I was really surprised to see that a lot of it was sampling plus license. I found that very.
Where were you getting those from?
Jamendo?
Yeah, it looks like they're from Jamendo. Interesting, yeah. And you had one that was BYNC. Oh, that was Sampling Plus as well. There was the one that was BYSA. Yeah, it's odd. I haven't come across that too much.
Right, and it's not all the same artists or anything, so.
No, yeah. That is interesting. Well, one of them is Attribution Sampling Plus and not the non-commercial.
Right, but I'd be curious to know as to why that license was chosen. In general,
yeah,
especially for punk songs,
we should get somebody on that uses the Sampling Plus and see if they can tell us.
Yeah, I'd like to see what the benefit is for that. I'm not even really that familiar with the Sampling Plus license, so it'd be nice to have a show where we talk about it.
Yeah, and then the last show of the shows that we have not discussed is the one where I did short songs, everything under a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those were like probably legitimately songs, and then I had the power of the great sword on there, which is a Nanowar like 8 second track, and it's pretty much 8 seconds of awesomeness. But but then yeah, that one, there was a lot of like punk on that one, as you might expect, being a minute or less.
Mm-hmm.
I also played the track that I made from Audio Tools or Audio Tool,
right.
Burn Studio, Burn Studios, or whatever it is, which I haven't had a chance to play with recently, unfortunately.
Yeah, no. I want to go in
all over the place.
That's very true, and I want to go in there and still mess around with trying to come up with different intros for the show. But I haven't had a chance to get in there yet either. I've been within the next week. I should hopefully have more time to do things that I want to do on my own rather than things that I get paid to do on my own. So, and those come first. So, fair enough. A lot of my creative free time will be opening up soon, so that'll be fun. Do you feel vindicated? We've talked about the shows now. You feel better?
I do. The only thing I want to add is I'd like to hear feedback on what people think about the short show, because I've got like at least two other short shows lined up. Which, I mean, it's not shocking that I have, you know, that there'll be punk on those shows. It's not like I don't play punk on the, you know, other shows as well. But,
right,
you know, if people thought that the really short songs were irritating, then maybe I won't do that.
You can't, because they're short.
Maybe I'll do it every month, you know, just to piss people off. I don't know.
Maybe you could do like the Minutemen, and then you'll do, you know, short shows, and then all of a sudden just play regular normal songs. Oh, well, I guess that is what you did.
Well, I mean, I could do it on the show, though. I could have, like, five really short tracks and then have, like, a 15-minute track after that.
Right.
I could do something like that.
That's true.
I don't know. But anyway, yeah, so that's one that I definitely I have at least one ready to go and another one which I have several tracks on. So I'd like to hear some feedback on that. But yeah, that's pretty much all I got.
Rock and roll. Okay, well, I'm sick of talking to you, so I'm just kidding. But yeah, so that's what we have for today. So hopefully everybody enjoyed the show, and we will see you next time on another Music Manumit at musicmanumit.com.